This is Nicolas Cage, and you're listening to the Fantasy Profits. Want to win your Dynasty Superflex League? Do yourself a favor and listen to them bring you an absolute national treasure each and every week.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
Hey, everybody. Fantasy Profits back for another show. Here with my good buddies, Eric, James, and the miraculous return of Matthew.
Hey, it feels good to be back.
It's been a month. Is that right?
It seems like it's been a year.
Dental time or chiropractor time where you get your next appointment and then they call you the next day and they go, it's time. Like the James and Eric jumped on. Ryan still doesn't know anything about rookies except for Blake Corum. So he's not going to be on. And we figured, so here's the plan. Here's the plan. Blake Corum. So we're going to do a mock dynasty. We're going to do a dynasty mock tonight, kind of a startup. And this leads into next week's draft, which I am planning on having podcasts the night of the draft, the entire draft, the entire second and third round, and maybe most of the rest of the rounds. And it'll just be like 15 hours of me. And then if Eric wants to jump on for an hour or two, he can jump in. And then if Matt wants to jump in, you know, it's like a communal shower in college. Who wants to jump in? James, to take off the old pantyhose, jump in. And Ryan, he wants to jump in, whatever. And if anybody out there who's in any of the leagues I'm in or were in, if you want to jump in, it's not going to be a live show. But I'm expecting about 12 to 15 hours of podding. On top of Tuesday's show, which that'll be sort of a lead up show into the show.
Oh, man.
On top of the show, Eric and I are going to do maybe, what do you think, an hour? I think we could do it in an hour. 2025, 2026.
Yeah, I think so.
Draft about class. That. Real surface level. But hey, these are the guys you need to start watching. And then I think we're planning on doing maybe once a month, once the regular season starts. Whoever wants to jump in, but definitely Eric and I want to do, hey, this is this guy from Alabama, Clemson. He's really playing well. Take a gander at him. And so it'll be fun. What'd you call it? Podathon? I think Matt called it a podathon or something, but thoughts? Am I nuts?
Podathon.
Am I crazy?
A little hours? Bit nuts, but
yeah, you're a little crazy.
Yeah.
James, you and I did 3 hours on QBs. Rookie QBs.
Well, that's actually very true. So, I mean, I can see it be pretty easy when you get going. So,
yeah,
going to be a fun draft. I mean, this is going to, I think it's probably I'm probably looking forward to this draft more than anyone I can think of in recent. Maybe I actually like last year's draft too, because I had some AR bets out there. But yeah, this one's going to be a fun one.
The Jamar Chase draft was a fun one. Right. That had a lot of studs with this one. And have any of you like me? I play in some IDP leagues. I've done some research on IDP players. So have you guys? No, you're a no, Matt. You're a no, James.
Eric,
you don't play.
I don't do IDP, but I watch a lot of college football and I definitely do a lot of like draft analysis. So there's a lot of like awesome corners in this class, in my opinion. So
some nice edges. Some nice mm-hmm. corners, couple of safety / corners, and one or two linebackers that are not really high on the list. But it'll be fun to talk about those guys for anybody who actually listens and plays in IDP. I've had a lot of fun in my IDP leagues. So, and for people who play in IDP leagues, the way you win is by stacking your defense. It's just you can get guys so cheap when you just can't get these guys on offense. And so hopefully Eric and I can give you some information on that.
Who's your favorite defensive player in the draft, Scott? Just name them off quick.
Latu.
Latu.
I love Latu. I love Verse. Mm-hmm. I do like, as a linebacker, I like Farrah Cooper. I do like Dean. mm-hmm. out of Iowa. He's probably my favorite
DeGene,
guy. I think he's probably going to be the most fantasy friendly because I think they'll line him up as a safety, as a nickel corner. Like, he's just going to be all over. And
he's going to get the punt return stuff or kick return stuff in this new kick return.
Yeah, everybody kind of likes Dallas Turner. I think he's going to go high, but I'm not too huge on him just because he's a smaller guy. But there are a ton of really good edges in this draft, and so it'll be a lot of fun. And you can get those guys usually in IDP leagues. You can get those guys in like the third round in rookie picks. So you just load up on third, fourth, fifth rounders. You can pick up a stellar defense.
Yeah, Latu and DeGene for those little IDP listeners. Those are, I mean, I'm not into IDP, but those two are the defensive players I like the most in this draft.
Liatu Latu, do yourself a favor. Just go watch. Every play is a highlight, but he is an absolute wrecker. If he goes to a team that has another edge on the other side, I mean, I would love to see him go to someplace like Dallas where you have Micah Parsons and him. That would be a nightmare for some team. He won't go to Dallas, but I would love to see him go to some team that has somebody on the other side to kind of help. That would be a lot of fun. There's just a lot of good players in this draft. So plans for the draft? Do you guys do anything? Do you order pizza? Do you crack open a 50-year-old bottle of scotch, James? Do you, Matt, do you have some sort of deluxe chocolate ice cream? Is there?
No, me and my high school buddies, we usually go to B-dubs. But this year we're going to drive down to the draft. We probably won't get in the building, but we will be downtown having a good time.
How much are tickets? Like, could you get the worst tickets?
A fortune.
$1,000 for the worst tickets?
Yeah, they're pretty pricey, I believe.
Eric, do you do anything special for the draft? Or
This year, I'm going to get drunk after we pick JJ McCarthy, and I'm going to call into the podcast.
You're going to get drunk regardless of who they pick.
No, well, yeah, if they pick Drake May, I'm going to be drunk, but it'll be like $1,000 bottle drunk.
James, you don't do anything special, right? You just kind of...
I usually actually just grab some pizza and sit down and just watch and sit down and enjoy it. But if we trade up to draft JJ McCarthy, I'll be tying a noose.
live on our podcast? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to be talked down off of a ledge from you guys if we trade up for JJ McCarthy, but it's going to be an interesting. I have a feeling that either Vikings or Broncos fans or both of us will be either very happy or very disappointed after the first hour and a half of this draft. 2 hours.
Look, I don't want to be morbid, but that beam behind you, I think it'll support your frame.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Easily. Oh, yeah. That's a solid steel beam there. Yep. I'm going to be like Shawshank James was here.
Shake and Bake was here. Yeah. Oh, that's sad. The news for this week, the other thing I was going to say is we're going to try to do a mock draft because we are starting this new Empire League auction. And Eric's in there. I'm in there, James. Matt, you coward, you are not in there, but that's fine. We'll get you in one of these leagues one of these years. He unmuted to laugh and then muted. So that's going to be interesting. And so I did want to try to do, you know, the question was, does this really help? And I think it does. Cause right now for our purposes, it will help us gauge where some of these rookies, what players are they kind of getting drafted around? So if somebody comes to you and says, I'll give you Stephon Diggs for this, this might give you kind of an idea of where we see some of the value. And I don't know if we've talked about specific player trade swaps, right? So if somebody comes to you and says, I will give you Jalen Hurts, what does that mean? Would you give me this player for Jalen Hurts? We haven't done that too much here and there, but I think it would help. Thoughts on, there's been a lot of trades this week in our leagues, to be honest, a lot more than I thought. Do you think that's going to ramp up?
I was actually kind of shocked because it kind of had died down, and I felt like it was okay. It's going to go quiet probably until the draft, and then a couple big trades in the last 48 hours. It seems like guys are either really starting to to try and firm up where they want to be in this draft, or they really have kind of firmed up their decisions on what they think about prospects, and they're like, hey, I feel good moving off of this, or maybe I want to get in a certain tier, you know? So I think it's fun. There's been more than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah. The two kind of trades I've seen are a higher pick for like two or three lower picks, or Hershey Rice is getting dealt like pancakes.
I've seen the 1-1 get dealt a few times. In one of my leagues, that it was an orphan I traded out. I'm rebuilding. It's in that one where we basically scrapped four teams and I jumped in, even though my team was okay, but I felt the orphan teams were still going to be crappy. So we're doing a dispersal draft. And so I got the 1-1 and I got the 1-5. It's a 14 team league. I got the 1-5, 1-14, and 2-5. And I feel okay with that. And the issue for me now, and in a lot of podcasts I'm listening to, and in some of the threads of people that I chat with that I'm in leagues that I'm not in with you guys, is one, the 1-1 is getting a lot closer to the 1-6. And the 1-5 is getting a lot closer to the 1-2. It's these six players are starting to mold together. I mean, I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah today about Roma Dunze. He couldn't stop talking about it. Just absolutely loves the guy. Says there's just, he has no bad habits. And you go, well, this guy used to be in the NFL. He's one of the top commenters and commentators on this. And he loves this guy. He spends 10 hours a day, 15 hours a day watching film. Has that been your experience too? That it's almost as if this, and JJ McCarthy is screwing things up. And Michael Penix is screwing things up, right? Because now people at the 1-8 are going, why do I need to move up? I can get a guy. Like, who knows if JJ McCarthy's as good as Drake May? We don't know, but I can take the same chance.
Yeah. Well, right now everybody's like in a bubble. They're in their best team fit. But when it gets down to the draft, which receiver's gonna go to New England? Which receiver's gonna go to the Giants? And it's gonna screw things up.
Is that what we think is that's the last shoe to drop? Right, where these guys go, that's gonna make a huge difference for us.
Oh, definitely, especially New England.
Huge. Like, are you gonna care, Eric, if Neighbors goes to the Giants? Is it gonna make that much of a difference if he goes there instead of, you know, let's say he goes to the Jets?
He's not dropping a tier for me. I think the spot that is going to change a lot of things is how McCarthy and Penix, whether they go in the first or the second. I think that's going to change, or somehow the third, but I think that's going to change a lot for where I rank guys or what tier they fall in. If I have the 107 or 108 right now, and somebody at the 2, 3, 4, 5 sees the 5 as the similar to the 7, and it'll take the 7 plus a second to trade down, I would do that right now. Hmm. I'd be fine going from, I think the tier drops at 5 myself, but I know other people like Jaden Daniels. So maybe it'll be 5 or 6, depending on how high he goes in your league. But if I can move from the 7 to 5 or to 4 or relatively cheaply, I'd be very interested in doing that right now.
Moving up and giving up a second, you're saying?
Yeah. But I also would look at trading down from the 3 to like the 5, you know, but it's got to be worth my while. If I'm trading down right now, it's got to be worth my while.
I just feel so confident this year compared to other years. I've listened and done so much more research this year, and I feel just as confident in the 2-5 as I do in the 1-10. I really do.
I can kind of see your point. I see like 201 to 204 very similarly or whatever. You know, you got to realize like some landing spots and draft capital could shake out funny or something could happen draft night. But I just think right now these people who are like trading in for picks, like completely where they're trading a player straight up for a pick. I mean, they were so behind the eight ball. They should have been doing this in January or in February or even mid-year. I mean, this is now that you're like the guy who traded for the 102 today. It's just like, man, the value of the 102 is never higher until the week before the draft, you know? So
were you, I don't think you were on the well, Matt was on the show. I don't think you were on the show, James. We talked about building a clock, some sort of pie chart clock that tells you when your draft pick, regardless of who's in the pick, when is it worth the most and when is it worth the least, to give people an idea of what, you know, when you should sell, if you're selling, when you should buy. This week is it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And this is also the week that I think, even compared to October, this last October, I think this is the lowest that 25 firsts ever are, besides 3 years out. Because if you go from October, I think in October, you have some people just trying to get any first because they went from contender to rebuilder really quick. Right now, they're like, there's so many guys who are like, oh, I'll throw in an extra 25 first to move up 8 spots, or I'll throw in an extra 25 first to move from the 2-6 to the 1-10. And so right now, I think 25 firsts are basically the lowest they've been since maybe June of not last year, but the year before.
Hmm. Would you, James, take, let's say you're sitting at the 1-8, would you take a 2025 first and a 2026 first for the 1-8?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Not even a question.
What about the 1-7?
Yes, I would.
Okay. 1-6.
That one, I would probably depend on where things kind of land. 25 first. I mean, I guess it would probably depend on what I think that team's going to end up being. As far as, are they going to be a top 6 pick or a bottom, you know, second half of the first round pick?
Jaden Daniels is sitting there at the 1-6. He's still available to draft. And somebody says, I'll give you my next 2 picks. And they're a middling team. They're in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably go ahead and take that then. Cause I mean, Jaden Daniels, I think he's one of those guys that, he's a tough one, right? Because his numbers are stupid this last year, but really didn't do anything prior to that. And then also, I mean, we all, I think, agree that he's got to change the way he plays the game at the next level, as far as injury concerns go. So land the spot where he goes. I mean, if he's with New England, I'm jumping all over that deal. If he's with Washington, okay, I'm probably a little, his value, it means a little bit more to me in that offense, with those receivers. But, what I'm more interested in see is, I mean, there's a quarterback that falls every year, right? So we know there's some smoke being blown around right now. And inevitably, I mean, it happened last year with Will Levis. I think it was literally like right about this time, a week out, where all of a sudden his odds to be the number one overall pick, like, I don't know what happened. Someone released a rumor somewhere, an inside rumor.
Reddit.
And it went stupid, right? Like his odds went crazy on the betting sites. And he ended up being a second round pick, right? Now he still ended up being a late first round, you know, rookie draft pick. But so I'm interested to see. I think there's going to be a drop by one of these guys. I really though am not sure if we know who it really is. Like, I think there's a lot of cat and mouse being played right now. I mean, I think I like Drake May a lot. I keep hearing his name come around as like being outside the top 10 possibly now. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, you know, if Denver has a chance to get Drake May at 9, you know, when the Bears come up, I know Matt doesn't like him, but I'm screaming, you better move up to 9 and get him. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens here.
Matt, you were shaking your head emphatically. You would trade the 1-7, 1-8, 1-6 for 2 future firsts.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I have 2 drafts that have already started, and the one I believe went Caleb Williams, Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, and I had the 5th pick, and I was so pissed because I didn't get one of those receivers.
It's interesting. It's gonna be a great week and a half. Almost all my, well, I have a couple rookie drafts that are set for June, but I think all of ours, most of ours, are starting right away. Like, we can't get to these things fast enough. Monday, right? 10 a.m.
That's your commissioner's fault. Sorry. But I like it when people have to know what they think about the player before the draft, not when they have to listen to 18 podcasts post-draft.
I love the 10 a.m. thing if it's a slow draft for some people. We should know by that, you know. I guess the best time would be in August, but you know, you want to own the players. We like owning the players. We like having them on our teams. It's stock. Any news? Let's see. Any news? Sean Payton said the team is open to trading up for a QB if they believe it could change the landscape. Okay, whatever. contract extension for Trevor Lawrence. I didn't see a ton of news. Did you guys see a ton? This one. Let's talk about this for 2 seconds, and then we're going to start the draft. Giants GM Joe Shane said the team has not given Darren Waller a timeline to make a decision on whether or not he will retire. That right there is infuriating to me. Yeah, the deadline is today. I'm going into the draft. Yeah, I need to know who's back and who's not, because if you're back, that means you're back for probably 1 year. You're not retiring, right? You're not going to stay for another 5 years if you're already trying to figure it out.
He had 1 foot retired the last 2 years, so I don't think it really matters to
him. I mean, it's money, right? If he retires, that they get that money back. It's whether they pick a tight end in the fourth round, probably. They're not going to go in there with what they have with Bellinger, I would assume. Any thoughts on that was just me having a problem with Waller. Okay. That's it. Anybody else have any new that the Adam Peters for the Washington Commanders having all three quarterbacks for dinner? Jane Daniels, McCarthy. Was it four? I think Penix.
Yeah, wasn't Penix on there too?
Maybe Penix was there. Yeah. All four
Penix was on dinner? There too. It was four. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna. I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I thought it was telling that Penix was in the upper echelon group of quarterbacks. So I thought that was really interesting that he was considered, because I keep hearing people talk about Penix as a late second, third. I had a guy like talk the other day, like, oh, I don't know if he's an early third. And I was like, maybe Eric's just somehow brainwashed me into thinking this guy's good, but man, holy crap, guys, like there's no way he's that bad of a prospect. Like, so I thought it was interesting. Yeah,
it's really hard to tell because he's had those major injuries and, and NFL teams take that so seriously. But as far as gameplay goes, he was my number two. He's really good.
And he got cleared at the combine, right? I mean, he got 100% clear, no issues. So I think he's going to sneak in there. And I think he's the one, I think, that could really start to mess up people's rookie draft plans. I think he's the guy that could sneak in there and throw a curveball.
Like if McCarthy goes to, like, let's say McCarthy goes to, nobody trades up, McCarthy goes to the Giants at six. McCarthy goes there. And let's say the Vikings, Broncos, or let's say even McCarthy goes to the Broncos at like nine, they trade up or whatever. Let's say the Vikings wait till 23 and take Penix. I'm taking Penix even with 23rd overall draft capital over McCarthy with 9 overall draft capital all day, especially in those situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
Eric and I said that if we're wrong on Penix, then we have to totally rethink. We're just going to quit. I think he's just going to be a good pro.
Yeah.
And Eric thinks he's going to be a good pro. And you watch his games, and I don't understand that we're just nitpicking every player when somebody like JJ McCarthy, who I like probably higher than you guys, I get the problems with him. It's, you know, lack of playing time, lack of opportunities. That's not the case with Penix.
Penix, one of the things I've been thinking about Penix lately is I would almost compare him to how Dak's career went, where Dak used to run a lot, and then he got that ankle injury, and now he doesn't run as much anymore. And that's how Penix was in college. And I don't think Dak doesn't run because he can't run. I think Dak doesn't run because he realized, I can do this all with my arm, and he runs now when he needs to. And I think Penix does the same thing in college. They had a few times where they called him on design QB draws, and he looked great. Like, I think he can run. I've heard way too many podcasts talk about him like he's Dwayne Haskins or something and can't move out of the pocket.
Matt, where's you said you have Penix two, you have Caleb one, Penix two. Where's McCarthy
for you? Third. Yeah. Third. Yeah. He has upside, but he like Jordan Love, he needs to sit for a couple of years. He's just too raw.
We can't even agree, the four of us, on any of these.
Three of us can.
Just, it's so funny. I've listened to so many shows and watched so many drafts and rankings, and it's all over the place. I mean, it's all over the place. So I think it comes down to, if you watch a guy and you've watched him in some games and you like him, then you take him. That's it.
I've never seen a player get punished more for taking his team to the national championship game than Penix. It seems, I know I've mentioned this before, but like, literally, Jaden Daniels didn't play in the SEC championship game, didn't play in the playoffs, didn't play in the championship game, and his stock just went
up.
Yeah, I was like, he's done nothing and has gotten higher, you know, inflation. And then Penix dices up guys in the Pac-12 championship game. Plays great in the semifinals, and then came up against the buzzsaw in the national championship game that literally made a lot of quarterbacks look really bad. And they had a good game plan. They got pressure up the middle, and you know, he had a rough game. We all can agree on that. One rough game. But I've never seen a guy get punished more than he has because of that. Like, I don't care if you stick the 1,000-yard runner, Jaden Daniels, back there in that game against that Michigan defense. I think he would have the same results. Like, I don't think it's any different. He'd be broken. Yeah, he'd probably be broken.
I watched every Michigan game, and there was not a quarterback who did not have a rough day that played Michigan.
They have what? Probably the number one defensive player, the cornerback.
Yeah.
Probably next year. He could probably not play this next year, and he'd still be a top five pick. He's that good.
Yeah. And Scott, you listen to the Ringer NFL show, right? I don't know. So I listened to that one. I heard a stat. I think it was their Tuesday show. Michael Penix had more throws scrambling out of the pocket than Jaden Daniels did. Because Jaden Daniels doesn't throw. He's not a scrambler. He is a runner. When he gets pressured, he does not get outside the pocket and throw it downfield. He gets outside the pocket and his eyes go down and he runs.
Yet another stat for us to change our rankings.
Was it McCarthy somewhere in there too? Did McCarthy had...
Probably had more than Daniels too.
I think his, maybe it was his completion percentage outside the pocket or something like that. But like, and he barely throws the ball. So yeah. I remember hearing the same thing.
Going to be a lot of fun. All right, we're going to start this draft. It's a 12 team. Basically, have a I put it as 2 QB because it'll force the computer to pick quarterbacks a little bit earlier. The problem is, it's 2 QB, 2 running back, 3 wide receiver, tight end, 3 flex, and 6 bench. The problem with it is that nobody has done rookie drafts yet. So Sleeper still thinks Caleb Williams is way down on the chart. So the computer is not going to pick rookies like we would, or a normal startup. That's the only problem.
They fixed that.
I did drafts today on Fantasy Pros and on here. It was better on Sleeper, so that's why we're doing it on Sleeper. It still wasn't Caleb or Jaden went in the third round most of the time, when that's not going to happen in our startups. Late first or mid second, kind of in there is where I, you know, who knows, but not third. So
not any of the ones where we have Club Dub in them. He's going first in all of those leagues.
He might.
The 101.
We'll say real quick, for those of you who know me and know of the situation that I'm going through, I'll talk about it maybe a little bit more in some other shows, but Eric kind of let me know what you guys did. Seriously, I will talk about it more as I go through all the messages and everything. Heartfelt thank you. Big time. Love you guys. Love doing the show. Love knowing that we have a... I did not know some of you guys were going to get involved to that level. And some of you listening might be, you know, wondering what's going on. It's just a personal issue with my wife, a health issue that she's going through. And so I am thrilled to know that there is a fantasy family, that of all these things we've talked about, right, where guys, girls, there's just not a lot of corner bars anymore. There's not a lot of places that people can get, you know, and just hang out and talk and get to know each other. And I mean, I've been in some of these leagues for years. I've been with James for 10 years and, you know, we've gotten to know each other through fantasy. You've gotten to know some of us through listening. And so all of the prayers, well wishes, everything, truly thank you. And that's it for now. So let's get back to it. So we're going to start the draft. Matt, of course, trying to steal some thunder from everybody, has to take the first pick. Why not take the second pick? At least there'd be some intrigue.
No, I've been gone for a while, so I need to jump in. I can't be all pussyfooting around.
Okay. Eric's at the 4. I'm at the 8. James at the 8. I'm at the 12. And we're just going to treat this as a startup dynasty. Like I said, we're starting this auction empire Monday. All right. Following Monday.
I think it's Sunday, maybe Sunday. Even. Yeah.
Following Sunday. So really curious. I wish we did more auctions. And maybe we can do those because you can do auctions, I believe, on Sleeper. I've never tried them, but I have no idea how the computer works in that regard. So maybe we do an auction one of these days because it's the most democratic way to start a fantasy league. I mean, it really is. And they're just way more fun. And so all of you out there who are just foot and boot in the sand, I am not moving. I'm not doing anything other than a draft. Get your head out of your rear and try an auction. There's so much more fun. And you know what? You actually have to work a little bit. That's why guys don't normally want to do auctions. It is an absolute grind, but it's so much fun. Thoughts on the auction process real quick. So it's not just me bitching at everybody that doesn't do them. Matt's gone. Nope.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most fair. So if it's, I mean, in a regular league, yeah, you can trade picks around, right? But if you're 101 and the person who's 101 doesn't want to trade it, there's no chance that you can get, you know, Josh Allen or whoever the 101 is going to end up being. And so auction is great. Everybody starts out with the same budget. Everybody has the same opportunity to build whatever type of team they want to build. You could end up with basically 3 first round type players and you could just absolutely, you know, go studs and duds. You could have a super balanced team. It's a lot of fun. They're the only way I'll do a dynasty startup anymore.
James, we've been in a few now.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be anti-auction guy. And then as I got in a dynasty, I really come to enjoy the auction process. It's a lot of more strategy. I mean, it's just a lot more fun. So like if I know we've all been bid up on guys before and had guys drop on us. We've all bid up other guys because we know, like, hey, I know Scott's going to go after, Jared, you know, Goff. Yeah, Jared Goff. Or I know, you know, Eric really likes Puka Nacua, so I'm going to make him pay. Or Justin Jefferson. And you're like, and, you know, so it's a lot of fun. And then also you think you're slick, and then they get dropped on you, and you're like, oh, did not see that coming. So it's a lot of fun. It makes it fun. It gives everyone equal opportunity to build their team the way they want to build it. And then also allow you to change. I mean, because there's so many times within an auction draft where you think you have it figured out and you got to switch strategy, you got to zig, you know, and it makes it a lot more fun.
Now we do this weird 12, you know, players all at once being on an auction block. I have not done an auction where it's just one player. I've done them in basketball fantasy leagues. I've never done one in football though, where it's just one at a time.
I don't know if Sleeper added it, but they didn't have the opportunity to do slow auctions before, for where like when you bid, it extended out the clock like X amount. And it just, with 30 players on your roster too, or 35 with 12 teams or 14 teams, it just takes too long if there's only one player on the block, unless you want to run from May until the start of the season.
I'll say this. Drafting's the most fun, but I never felt in the second round when I got, you know, Christian McCaffrey, whoever, that I won. I was never super excited I got a player. In auction, when you find out you won, man, you feel like you just got, like the pregnancy test came back negative. Oh my God, I'm so happy right now. So definitely try an auction if you can. A lot of fun. And we ready to go, boys? Ready? All right, start the draft. Okay, Matt, disappoint us.
All right. It's good to be back. And probably for the next 10 years, there's no other player I'm going to draft at number one than Patrick Mahomes. It's just an obvious pick for me, especially with Diggs leaving Buffalo. It even makes sense fantasy wise. And I like that he got Hollywood Brown just in case Rice, you know, gets suspended for a few games. You never know what's going to happen there, but Patrick is the man and that's who I'm taking.
Are you worried that they're going to leave Kansas City, move their stadium because the billion-dollar proposal got turned down by the city?
They got turned down?
Wow. Yeah, they're not going to build them a new stadium. So now they're talking about moving.
That's crazy.
Okay, well, Jalen Hurts, then Lamar, Josh Allen at 4. Kiss me from the sky.
That's my 101. And he dropped to 4. I was so prepared to take like a wide receiver there or something. And yeah, I'll take Josh Allen.
I mean, Matt's right. You take away a top 5, top 10 weapon, we have no idea how that offense is going to look. We assume they're going to take some weapons in this draft, but really, I mean, Diggs was good. I know you hate any, and Matt hates any player over the age of 27, but he's still an elite weapon. You don't worry about that with Josh Allen?
Wasn't he the number one quarterback last year with Diggs being just trash for the back half of that season?
Let me look. How was he the last, what, 8 games? That's when Brady, was that when Brady took over as OC somewhere?
Sure, last 8 games, he had 25, 22, 22, 24, 25, 23, 24, 24.
So it looks like he ran a little bit more.
And I think he will.
And he had a lot of rushing touchdowns. Boy, so the first 10 games he had 7, and then he had like 9. So that's where he's going to make it up, maybe.
I have a lot of James Cook, and I know how many rushing touchdowns Josh Allen scores.
All right. Stroud went, Chase went at 5. Jefferson went at 1-6. Stroud at 7. Burrow at 8. Lamb at 9. Herbert at 10. Amon-Ra St. Brown at 11. Any hesitations? Any weird things? Weird that Herbert is still going this high? Would be my only question, just because they've ripped apart. They've taken away his tight end and both of his wide receivers and his running back. Everybody gone. And given him a head coach that doesn't seem to help quarterbacks become fantasy relevant.
I think Herbert might be, I think he might be one of the most interesting guys, like considering what they do at 5 in that draft. Cause I mean, the Harbaugh thing is to go tackle, right? Mm-hmm. But the fantasy player wants neighbors. Or if Marvin Harrison falls, they want that stud receiver to go there. So he's one of the more interesting ones, I think, because he's kind of like at a bit of a crossroads. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this draft.
So I'm up with the 112. I think that at this point, I'm going to go Anthony Richardson at the 112. And I'm going to go with Eric, and I think this is the best value in fantasy right now, Kyler Murray. I'm going to start just building my QB room. Now I'm done. And then Caleb went at the 2-2. Oh, that's nice. Okay, so Sleeper's doing a little bit better. Maybe it's part of that us picking 2 QBs.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
AJ Brown and then Bijan. Tempted with Bijan.
Who do you guys... If you guys were in a snake like this, who do you have as your wide receiver one? Who's the best wide receiver? CeeDee Lamb went 3rd. I think he'd be my one right now.
Lamb by a mile. Yeah.
Are we not worried that they're not going to re-sign Dak long term?
I'd be shocked.
I'd be more worried about who the Vikings are going to have at quarterback for Jefferson.
I'd probably go Chase.
Okay. And I think that's a fine argument too.
As long as they can keep Burrow upright. But I mean, if he has another down year, we got to start having the Burrow talk. in fantasy, which is he's just not worth the price. But we'll see what happens. I hope he's back. A good Cincinnati team is good for football. All right, shake and bake.
I'm going. Really? You got CD over JJ?
Yeah, I would take CD right now. I think his just target numbers are always super high. JJ is going to have Addison and Hockenson there and a rookie QB. And I swear, if we take JJ McCarthy, we're going to run the ball a heck of a lot more than we did last year. Highest passing rate offense in the league or whatever. We were top five.
I just can't get over the fact the guy barely played last year. He had terrible quarterback play. And he still had a K. You know, he's so good. I can't quit him. I can't dethrone him from the number one overall wide receiver yet. I just can't do it. But I'm a big CD believer. I think last year I told people I thought he was better than Chase. And got a little flack over it, but he's really good. But okay, just curious.
Concerns about Jefferson though when this contract thing coming up.
I think he is good enough. I don't think it really matters where he goes. I really don't. He's just that good of a player. I feel like you could stick him on the Giants. You could stick him on wherever you want. And the guy's just, he's a walking 1,000 yards in what, 9-10 games. Like if the guy stays healthy, he's just stupid.
I heard a very prominent Vikings fan, very prominent, would trade him and 3 firsts for Herbert.
He's not walking to go to a team like the Giants. If he's walking, he's only walking to go to a championship, more contending team. Because from all I've heard around here, we've offered him almost everything, and he just wants to see who the QB is first. So because he knows he's going to get the record-setting wide receiver market and or wide receiver contract, I honestly think he might be trying to wait for CeeDee Lamb to sign first to set that market so that he can get 3% on top of it or 5% on top of it.
$35 million for a wide receiver. Oof.
I think he might get more.
God. I mean, look.
That's why we let Cousins walk and Hunter walk, is I think it was those two or Jefferson.
You would assume that if he gets that kind of a contract, I would feel very safe with him getting 150 to 200 targets. That kind of a, they're not going to not use him.
Right.
You know, they'll just pepper him. So McCaffrey went, Jordan Love at the 2.5, McCaffrey, Marvin Harrison at the 2.7, Breece Hall at the 2.8. Eric, you took Puka, just like James said.
I think Puka, Marv, and Garrett Wilson could probably all be slotted around the same tier for me. But I would have Puka at the front of that just because he's already shown massive production numbers. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that question down for today to see who you guys would take first out of those three.
Garrett Wilson was good last year with nobody. Mm-hmm. And I know there's Aaron Rodgers. How are we figuring him out? But if he's even 90% of what he was, Garrett Wilson should shoot up our list to top three. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just the Jets season was just so hard to watch every week. And so we still have that.
Yeah. If Rodgers is there for Garrett, he's going to be amazing to watch.
I think the only thing that gives me pause is Stafford. Like how long does he have left in the tank with Puka? Cause I think as long as Stafford's there and healthy, Puka's a stud. That would be the only thing that would make me worried in regards to, you know, slotting him around Marvin Harrison. Cause if he gets Herbert or if he gets Kyler, I would probably go Marvin there over Puka. Wilson, I guess you could say the same thing. Like, right. I mean, is Rodgers and one, he's got 1 year left. So how long does he have? He's been pretty good. He's been pretty, you know, quarterback proof, but I don't know what they're doing in New York in the quarterback spot. So yeah, I would probably go Marvin there depending on landing spot, but I wouldn't argue with you with Puka. If you could tell me, If you told me Stafford's playing 2 or 3 more years, I wouldn't argue with you.
Stafford's on, I mean, contract wise, he's good for at least another 2 years. And I think if that team's good, I would assume he would keep playing. I just traded for Stafford in my IDP league that I won. I wanted to go see, I forgot what it was, but I traded Jordan Love for Stafford and Foyisade Olukone, which if anybody out there knows, he's the linebacker for the Jaguars who had 173 tackles last year.
Holy crap.
Yeah, 173 tackles, year before 184, year before 192. So as a linebacker, he scored about 150 more than Jordan Love.
How many of those are solo?
I don't know if it says it on here. He had 2.5 sacks, a forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries, and an interception. He is an absolute, he is scoring 40, 35. He scored 60 one week. Like in an IDP league, he's a monster. And so
wow.
Somebody wanted Jordan Love, and I said, give me the best. Basically, he's the best defensive player you can have. And then I said, throw me Stafford. And the guy's like, done. And I'm thinking, Stafford is just getting thrown around. And he got traded in one of my leagues for 4 fourths. And somebody went, this is still a top 15 QB who's got 2 elite weapons and is in a really fantasy-friendly offense. So have you guys seen any other Stafford? You know, we're talking about Puka Nacua in this way, but he's going to have Stafford and Kupp there for 2 years, hopefully. Buying Stafford? Yeah,
at Eric? Price, heck yeah.
Matt, yeah. Ages? Yeah, I already got too much Stafford.
So you're okay with old quarterbacks?
Yes, I'm okay with old quarterbacks.
I found a crack in Matt's love triangle there. All right. So then Garrett Wilson went Tyreek Hill. Now Matt's up twice. You took Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, this is a tough spot. This is almost where there's a tear break. And if Jahmyr Gibbs wasn't there, I would be spending the next 4 hours debating who I'm going to take. Because the wide receivers really drop off after this. Neighbors is a possibility. Maybe Drake London if you want to buy the heat. But Jahmyr Gibbs, I usually don't see him on the board here, so I'm gonna go ahead and snag him up. Okay. He's one of those running backs that they're just gonna get a lot of work.
Okay, so now you got your QB and a running back. You're up again.
And I got to grab a quarterback because by time it gets back to me, there's not going to be any left. So I'm going to go ahead and let's snag Trevor.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to. Then Olave went, then Waddle. And if any of us or any of you want to comment as these rookies get picked by us, or would you trade, you know, Marvin Harrison for Christian McCaffrey straight up, right? They're getting picked right next to each other. Would you take Caleb Williams? If somebody offered you Kyler Murray for the 1-1 or the 1-2, wherever Caleb goes, 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, would you take Kyler Murray for that straight up? So James, yes.
Yep, for sure.
Matt, no.
I've had too much Kyler.
I feel like somebody in your league would pay Kyler plus for Caleb in most leagues, but if that's the value, that's the best value that's out there that you can get for the 1-on-1, I'd rather have Kyler. I think Kyler is definitely the most underrated quarterback in Superflex right now.
Okay. What was another one here? Marvin Harrison straight up for Puka?
I think Marvin Harrison for me comes in when I start looking at this list. You went at 207 in ours. When you go Breece Hall, then Puka. I think people can have arguments for Hall, Puka, Garrett Wilson. I think after that, it went Tyreek Hill, Jahmyr Gibbs. I think at that point, you're for sure taking Harrison myself.
Interesting. All right, Eric, you are up. It went Chris Olave and then Waddle. Waddle's still going at the 3-3.
Do you guys have any like rules in like snake drafts, like for yourself? Like if you're, so right now I'm at the pick 3-4, which would be 24, 25, 20, it'd be the 28th pick. Will you not take somebody over 40 ADP at 28 or something like that? Or no, you guys not set rules for yourself like that?
It's a good question. The question being, are you looking at where other people are seeing the ADP?
I think if they're, you know, ranked at this ADP, you know, 48, and like, you know, maybe there's a halfway shot this guy falls to me, or maybe he even should fall to me, but I still have him over the other guys around him. Do you guys have rules where you're like, nope, I won't take him if he's, you know, more than 15 picks from where I'm at or something like that?
We on the Fantasy Profits are big fans of reaching arounds. Reach arounds. Yeah. I think that's the rule. I think if it's within a round, then you go get them. I listened to a guy today who said, if you're a real fantasy player, throw out the ADP once the draft starts. And I went, oh no, you're not a fantasy player, bud. You need to see where other people are seeing these guys.
Yeah.
If you feel confident in drafting, go for it. But I need to see that Eric sees Brock Purdy at 32.
Right.
Because there's going to be other players, and this ADP is their Bible.
Right. So I'm picking at 28. That means I'd be picking again at 40, I don't know, 45-ish. At ADP of 39, this is where I'd take Michael Pittman, I think, after that contract was signed.
He was the one you're wondering if you could get at the 4-9?
Yeah, and I don't know if I could. And if it's a 70% chance I could, I'd still be fine, I think, taking him here just because I might like somebody else. I have like 8 wide receivers here. I like somebody else is going to fall there.
Look, everybody, know who you're drafting. Read the room. I am the huge stack master, and I have Anthony Richardson. So am I going to take him with one of my 2 picks? Probably at the 3-12 or 4-1. So Eric, I mean, that's where you would look and go, all right, who's got, all right, James always loves this. Like, no, you need to understand the tendencies of people you're drafting with.
Right.
Because I think that's going to matter a ton.
I pay more attention at this point in the draft, like how I see people roster constructing. So like I start more than ADP, I think, right now. So I'll look and be like, all right, like Scott's got 2 QBs. He's probably going to, knowing Scott, he's going to go wide receiver. Like, and he's probably going to stack. He's going to try and grab either, you know, like you said, Michael Pittman. He's got Kyler Murray. So I'm going to go, all right, well, you know, if he can grab what he thinks is going to be, you know, obviously Malik Nabers just went. So if Malik Nabers had went to Arizona, I would mark down Scott's going to go Malik Nabers to stack with Murray. So I pay attention more to that and then kind of start to calculate what I think is going to come back to me. So that's how I kind of do it at this point in the draft. I mean, obviously ADP matters, but I'm also like, I'm just, hey, I got belief in this guy, and this is the guy I want on my team at this point. And I really just don't give a damn what anybody else, I think, thinks right now. So saying that, I think Ayuk is just a stud, and I'm going to take him off the board here for my wide receiver 1.
So after Pittman, it went Laporta, Nabers, Kyren Williams, Ayuk, Jonathan Taylor, London, Devonta Smith. That team 6 is like a playboy to a 10-year-old Scott. Like, whole dog. Justin Jefferson, Harrison, and Nabers. That is a beautiful sight. Now, looking at my squad now, Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, I wish I wouldn't have done this. It really, and James can talk to it too, because he went 2 QBs. It really pigeonholes us. Brock Purdy's there. Dak Prescott. There's all these guys. And we just have to flush them down the toilet. There's no way we're going to take a 3rd QB, even though the value is great in the 3rd round. So I typically do not go 2 QBs. I think if you just go too heavy into one position, it really locks you into not seeing guys slip. So for me at this point, this is easy. I'm going to go DJ Moore. I'm going to go Nico Collins. I think Diggs is just going to help Nico Collins. I think he's gonna have
Is anybody freaking out about Nico? I'm freaking out about Nico.
I mean, no.
I'm not. I think Nico's fine. I'm more honestly, I'm a little more concerned about Dell right now than I am Nico. And I'm definitely, if I'm a Schultz owner, I think Schultz is probably, I think his value probably just got shot. So I think there's maybe a little bit of a dip possibly for Tank, and Schultz, I think, just got the rug pulled up underneath him for what we thought maybe 2-3 weeks ago, whenever the trade happened. We were all kind of talking up Schultz, thinking, hey, the guy just signed a 3-year deal. He's cheap. He's a cheap option. We think he's going to finish probably top 10. I don't see that happening anymore with Stephon Diggs.
Schultz's numbers, though, weren't crazy. They're like 600 yards, right? It was, I think it's still do that.
A little more crazy.
ATN, Achan, Justin Fields. Okay, so that won't happen. Roma Dunze, Rashee Rice. Okay, so we got those weird guys that have not read anything showing up at the draft. And Dak Prescott and Purdy. See, I would have liked Purdy at the 4-1. And then instead of Murray or Anthony Richardson, I probably would have gone Kyler Murray and AJ Brown, something like that. I would have liked that construction more.
I think we should do a show in August or July and write down the names of the guys that we are going to buy week 4 or 5 after they have not produced. Because I'm thinking about like that whole Diggs thing, and Diggs' contract is a 1-year deal now. And so we really should buy Dell and Nico Collins if they haven't produced after 3 or 4 weeks, because they're going to be there. And I don't think Diggs is. So I think we need to write down a list of guys that we are going to buy after 4 or 5 weeks, because otherwise we're going to get 4 or 5 weeks and we're going to be like, yeah, I'm not buying that guy. He hasn't done anything. I feel like that happens to me every year. I'm like, oh yeah, this guy's going to suck for 5 weeks, and then I'm going to buy him. And then he sucks for 5 weeks, and then I don't buy him because I'm like, oh, he's kind of sucked.
Let's do a day old donuts.
Yeah. I like that.
We'll do a day old donuts thing. Rashee Rice, Dak Prescott, Purdy, and now Eric's back up. He's got Josh Allen, Nakua, and Pittman.
So, this is, this is kind of a deadish spot for me, honestly, in the draft. I'll take Tank Dell here, but I don't really, that back end of the fourth, I don't love like a lot of the back end of the fourth, early fifth, even most of the fifth guys. I'd rather probably, if you could trade down in a draft, trade down and get a sixth or a seventh or whatever, if I could.
Adunze going that much, I mean, a round later than Harrison and Neighbors. I don't know if that'll happen.
That's the one I was hoping fell to me, but James.
Tank Dell, T. Higgins, Saquon Barkley. Now Matt's up. Matt.
All right. I need a number one receiver, and they're drying up pretty quick. I'm going to take some Metcalf here.
Oh.
And this is tough. You got a lot of guys that either are on the older side, which I don't usually like to take, or you got a lot of guys that are not quite hit their stride yet. I am going to take Jordan Addison. I like what I seen from him. There's a huge risk that his whole year could be washed if they don't get the right quarterback.
Hawkinson went, and then McBride. Boy, I could chew up this fifth round. There's so many good players in here. Love the fifth round.
Really?
Yep. But it's me.
I think for me, gosh, I hate the fifth round. Man, I'm looking at these and I'm like, well, I don't like these first. Like,
Let's talk about this, Eric, because you and I have talked about this on other shows. Who of the guys on this list would you take a first for? Right? Because Drake May is a first. So, and we've done this previously, you and I. At what round is a first round draft pick worth the player you're not drafting? So if I take Drake May, Is Stephon Diggs worth a first? Most people would say no. Or is Tua worth a first? Like that's what, right?
I think a lot of these players are worth a first, but I think depending on the team that I had, a lot of these players I'd sell for a first or I'd pay a first for.
Like Debo's worth a first?
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm not in love with like the wide receivers here.
Pickens?
I hate this part of the draft so much. I'll just take Drake May. I don't know if I'd love to take him that early just because I feel like it pigeonholes you into like this play for the future kind of build, but I really like Drake May. Hopefully he goes to a good spot.
James, tell a joke or something. We're losing Eric. He's losing interest.
Not in the draft. Just I don't like this round.
So Drake May goes Rashad White, Kenneth Walker, and then Mark Andrews. And now
that's who I debated at my pick was paying for a tight end, but I just hate paying for tight ends.
Well, look, everybody's still taking Hawkinson fairly high. That knee got flipped around 180 degrees, and we have no idea what a wide receiver is going to do for McBride's value. And Mark Andrews just wasn't great last year. So there's like a lot of questions in here at tight end still. But that's James's idea. Is go tight end right here, right?
No, I'm not thinking tight end. So this is the part of the draft I start really, and I know Scott, you and I talk about this all the time. So 8 out of the 12 teams right now only have one quarterback. And I start going, okay, am I really in love with any of this group or this tier of wide receivers here? Or do I think they're all about the same value? And I'm going to punish you for passing on a quarterback for 5 rounds, right? I'm not going to let you fall into a quarterback 2 here. Yep. that you know, you really don't deserve at this point. So, you know, there's Tua, Jaden Daniels, Goff, Watson, Bryce Young, Kirk Cousins, those type of guys. Stafford's still there. And then you got, you know, a bunch of running backs that I think are all the same. So this is where I kind of look like, okay, can I make something hurt here a little bit and set myself up for trade value possibly? So, gosh, I'm not a Jaden Daniels guy, but like value-wise, I think he holds more value than Tua. I think he holds more value than Goff, Watson, Young. So I'm probably going to go.
Look, we talked about Daniels. If all these QBs hit, he's got the highest ceiling. There's just no other way to see it.
I'm not going to let somebody slide into Jaden Daniels, you know, actually working out. So I'm going to make that one hurt for somebody.
Brock Bowers went at the 5'9", then Diggs, and then JSN. I don't get why he's still going that high. Lockett has just restructured his contract, and I don't get it. But that's Team 11's problem. I would have liked Diggs there. I would have liked to have had Nico and Diggs. I think that your Diggs thought is correct, Eric, with that one-year contract, but he needs a bounce-back year. He needs a big year to get a big deal. So I think he's going to have a nice year.
I'm not saying Diggs won't, but I just think that he's probably – I think odds are Houston doesn't re-sign him because Houston still needs to re-sign Nico. And then – you'll have Stroud and Tank on the horizon, Tank in 3 years or in 2 years, Stroud in 3 at that point. So it's just like, I just don't think Diggs is past a 1 year play for them.
I would agree.
Don't you guys feel like this is like the make or break here for Diggs? Like he's got to be a good boy this year. Like he's got to be good on the sidelines, help a young quarterback, be positive. Enough with the temper tantrums. You're on a 1 year. He's literally on a 1 year deal. He's on a prove a year. So, I mean, you know, hey, be a pro for a year and then go get your bag from Kansas City or, you know, whoever else you think you're going to get for a 2 or 3 year deal. But I feel like this is kind of his. I mean, Houston's pretty much put their chips in the middle here and said, hey, we're gonna take a run at this year. But
what a shell game though. he's been like this forever. He was like this in Minnesota. He's been like, he was, you know, he was getting more targets than anybody in Buffalo and still complaining.
Right.
I wouldn't believe it for a second, unless you want that.
Yeah. I mean, I just think this is it for him though. Like, I mean, you've been literally shipped out of Minnesota. Buffalo got to the point to where they literally can't stand to eat. Like, they just get out of here. Like, we don't want to deal with you anymore. So, you
know, interesting thing though, in Minnesota, would you say the coaches were, I mean, maybe the coaches at that time or the coaches that he's had have been dominant coaches? Like, I think if he went to the Rams and played for McVay, I think he would fall in line a little bit more. Or if he would have gone to the Patriots and Belichick. Feels he's still playing for technically a rookie, right? 1 year out, D'Amico Ryans. He's not playing for some solid guy, you know, Pete Carroll, who's been around and commands respect.
You seen the biceps on D'Amico? That dude, he pops off to D'Amico and he's going to end up flat knocked out on the floor. Like
Bobby Knight, he's going to go strangle him?
Yeah. D'Amico, I don't think plays. I think he has respect. But I mean, to your point, I think it's McDermott that's up in Buffalo, right? Like,
yeah. Who was the coach when he was in Minnesota?
Wasn't it Zimmer?
Oh, it was Zimmer, but he.
Zimmer.
So he played this. He played this a race card with Zimmer a lot. Once it got towards the end, he would just say a lot of stuff that sounded like, oh, he can't deal with me because he doesn't get my race kind of thing. And so part of me wonders if the D'Amico thing, if he can't pull that card, you know, so it's like maybe I feel like he has to stay more in line because he's on a 1 year deal and he could come out of this with nobody wanting him and him being a vet minimum guy, or he could come out of this getting another 1 year, $30 million deal or 2 year, $30 million a piece deal.
When I seen this trade, I could not stop shaking my head. I don't know why you're putting a poison pill like Diggs in such a young and up and coming organization, yeah, who finally has their stuff together. Then you're going to put this poison in your mouth. I just don't like it.
I think that's a great point, man. I think the first thing I thought of too was, is this the guy you want in your young stud QB's ear constantly, you know, pissing and moaning, I'm open all the time. So
who's the veteran there on that team now? I mean, they don't have any.
Joe Mixon.
Daniil Hunter, but he's, you know.
Yeah, Joe Mixon, you don't want that either.
Yeah, he shoots kids at Nerf gun wars, man, that guy.
Joe Mixon will tell you how to get a pizza, though, quick. I mean, all right. So I'm here at the 12. I am a Josh Jacobs fan this year. I cannot wait to see him in that offense. And I think getting him, I think having to pay the 4-2 for ATN or paying some of the prices, unless I'm getting the Bijan, McCaffrey, Gibbs, Hall group, I'll grab Jacobs at the 5-12. I think he's going to have a monster year. And I would have liked Diggs here. I said that before. And I'm kind of thinking like you, James, but I don't want, if this was a real draft, I would take Goff here. Got to punish these guys. I'm going to leave them with Watson. Although if I'm, you know, they're going to end up having Stafford and Mayfield, and that kind of sucks too. Or Tua. That's going to suck because they're going to have decent years. So with my build, I still like Debo. George Pickens is here. Devontae. I'm going to go George Pickens. I'm going to like my little Collins, Pickens, DJ Moore room and hope that Russell Wilson just throws those nice bombs to the sideline because that's all he does. Zay Flowers, Dalton Kincaid, and Devontae Adams. Debo goes. James Cook, Kelsey, Pacheco. Could we see a Kelsey renaissance? He felt slow last year. He felt like he was just banging women and had those slow banging women legs
until he got to the playoffs.
Then he was fine, right? But he had that little belly and
miracle. Yeah,
he had that foot injury. I think he heard it at Minnesota and on that turf up there. And he just, I don't know if he was ever 100% last year. So be interesting to see what he looks like. Plus the weak legs.
You get better though, right? The more you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's 34 now.
He's such an idiot. Like, do you guys see this guy? Like,
I knew it was coming.
God, he's like, so...
you're not gonna just gloss over a comment.
Oh my God, he's just.
Kelce is 34. I mean, he was still the number three tight end. God almighty. Just tight ends are so dumb. I'm sorry. They're just dumb. You have a guy with 500 yards, six touchdowns, and 50 catches, and he's a top 10 guy. It's so dumb. We should get rid of tight ends. Just, we should have them in with wide receivers. Just do super flex, the old wide receiver tight end super flex. No wide receiver spots, no tight end. All right, Eric is looking intently at this draft board, trying to say something nice about the players in this range.
He's like, I hate this round more than the fifth round.
Why does it keep getting worse?
He hates every round except for the first three.
Well, so like I really like in startups, I do this in our auctions too. I really like swinging on guys that I think could just hit hard and just.
Hey now. Somebody clip that. Somebody clip like, it for me.
He likes swinging
on guys that hit hard.
I'm fine with a guy ending up being a zero, but I really want. I really want like a guy that can be really good. I'm not really looking for steady. So.
Pick your words carefully right now.
I know. Now I have to think.
He's like, how do I not make every sentence sound bad?
Just pick a guy and move on, Eric. Just pick a guy and move
pick
on.
Pick a guy. I'm going to reach around for this guy. Which guy hits the hardest for you, Eric? Brian Thomas. Okay. Oh, and he was at the 6'9". Nice. I didn't even notice that. Mike Evans goes Cooper Kupp. And now it's Matt. I'm going to throw this out there. Man, there's going to be, in my opinion, and we're going to get into a lot more. You can get Davante Adams, Debo, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp in this round. There's going to be some teams that are going to pull out some one-year wins. Their team's going to get old fast, but they're going to make money right away.
Definitely going to make money. I mean, look.
I thought about going that way too.
Look how far Kelce fell.
I mean, seriously, these guys are going to be good for at least 2-3 more years. Mike Evans was what, five, the fifth highest in our league last year.
What if you traded your like first, second, third, fourth, and fifth in this league, and you just picked up a ton of 2025 firsts and 26 firsts, and you just got everybody's pick in the sixth round? You could literally go Adams, Kelce, Evans, Kupp. You could just rattle off a bunch of contending 1 year, 2 year max pieces. Like,
well, you'd have Tua and Goff at your QB spot.
Yep.
You could have, yeah. Oh, maybe I was going into.
That's like, maybe I like snake drafts. I'm just going to trade out of the first five picks though.
I was trying to come up with my auction strategy, right? Cause you want to do a little bit, you want to go a little bit different most of the time. And then it kind of ends up that you do the same stuff. You kind of end up getting the same kind of players or whatever, but damn, these rounds right here, there's still a ton of solid players for a nice 2 year run. Fantasy wise. Yeah. Matt.
Yes. Pretty much you're looking at old ass crusty receivers and running backs, or you're going to dive into the rookie pool. And I like what I seen out of Jaden Reed. He might not be a traditional receiver, but at least he shows that every week in and week out he has a role in the offense, and he is explosive. So I'm gonna go with the Packer.
Nice. So now you have Mahomes, Lawrence, Gibbs, and then Metcalf, Addison, and Jordan Reed.
And I'd be surprised if big money was on the line and Derrick Henry was still on the board. So I'm going to grab his old stank ass.
Jesus. Just thinking about him. Tajay Spears goes next, and then Kamara. Those are surprising. Tajay Spears, at least. And then back to Eric.
I think Kamara is a little, I think he's still underrated a little bit. He had a good year last year. I think he's really solid. So in a PPR format.
One year after the beating.
Yeah, he's still got some juice.
I think Kendra Miller is going to get a bigger piece of pie. Remember, he's hurt in the off season, hurt at preseason, just never quite got his legs. And that would be my only hesitancy. So then it went, went Kamara.
Running back run here.
Mixon, Pollard, Najee Harris, and Javonte Williams. And now James is up.
I don't want to draft this guy. I've been telling everyone for 2 years to don't draft this guy.
Just
wait. Kyle Pitts is just sitting here staring at me with a good quarterback.
Where's your dignity?
No, right?
Not even a real draft. and you're having moral questions and moral quandaries about things. I
just can't do it. I still don't have a running back. I've kind of been known to kick those guys down the road a little bit. So I'm going to load up again here. I think Scary Terry is just a highly underrated guy. Really good, solid wide receiver. Going to get an upgrade. Probably play with the best quarterback whoever goes there will probably be the best quarterback he's ever played with. So I can rock with Terry as my wide receiver 3-4 range. So I'm going to go with Terry.
Rock with Terry. Sounds like a Hallmark movie. All right. Christian Watson. He's going to go in what? The 15th round in drafts, probably? 13th? So he goes to the 7-9, and then DeAndre Swift, and then Ferguson goes. And then it's me. This one's for you, Eric. Grabbing that young lad. At 7-12, I think he's going to – I have no idea what his first year is going to – I don't think he has a high ceiling his first year. But I think, 60, 70 catches, 800 yards, 5 touchdowns. I think he's going to be a lot of fun to have too. And then I want to take Keenan Allen here. So I just pair him with DJ Moore so I get the nice double dutch with DJ Moore and Keenan. I don't think they're taking a quarterback or a wide receiver at 9.
I don't either.
I could see them taking one in the 3rd round, 4th round. Sure. See that. But I think those two guys are just going to be dominant.
Is Rome supposed to go before 9?
Like his floor for most of the mock drafts. Like the last spot that if he doesn't go by 9, the Bears take him at 9 in almost every mock.
Yeah. I'd love to see him at 9 go to the Bears. That'd be awesome.
Stevenson, David Montgomery, Aaron Jones. What, you shook your head, James. Is that because you wanted Montgomery?
Yeah, I really wanted Montgomery there.
Yeah. And then Amari Cooper, Nick Chubb, and then Kirk, and then Eric, you're up. You have Josh Allen, Drake May, Puka, Pittman, Dell, Brian Thomas, and Mixon.
So first of all, I didn't try to pick Mixon last time. I accidentally pressed the plus button instead of the add to the queue button.
Oh, okay.
But I'll take him. What I was thinking about taking a tight end last round, I was like, I'll just wait and see if one of the four I like dropped to me. Only one went, and two guys after me still have tight end, so I know that somebody else is probably still going to drop to me. So this pick then doesn't have to be a tight end. So I will go. Interesting. I'm going to take Jonathan Brooks here. I think it's early by ADP, but I think of all the rookie ADP here, I think the running backs are too low.
Yep, 8-9. So then Charbonnet went, and then Eckler. If you wouldn't have taken Mixon and he would have been there at the 12, I would have taken him there.
Yeah, I think it's a fine pick. I didn't have a problem taking him, and I didn't love anyone anyway. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, I guess that works, but.
I've been banging the drum for him. I think he's such an easy player to just drop in your lineup and you get 15 points and it's done and he plays. And
He was like running back 8 or something last year. I had him on a couple rosters, and it was so easy. You never had to. He was the 6 last year.
Last year. He didn't even. I mean, he caught 52 passes. He didn't have a great year. Like,
no.
But
he should be nice in that offense. So he should have a really nice year.
What was it? A 3-year deal, right? So
yeah. So they're not drafting a running back with a deal like that either.
Nice price at that 6th, 7th round for he and Jacobs and Kamara, Derrick Henry. Okay. Matt, you're in the spotlight again.
Yeah, they're this year. There is a ton of old running backs who are just primed to score points for you. Like once we get the landing spots, I think some of these rookie running backs are going to fly up to like the 4th round or such. But I'm going to put my blue balls on the table and take Mr. Blake Corum, who I believe will go late 1st in the NFL draft.
What?
Late 1st.
Do you want to bet, and I'm being honest, everything I own on that? You put up $2. I'll put up everything I own. What are we thinking? 2nd, 3rd round for 3rd round is kind of our consensus. Is that, but you do think, Matt, he's going to go late 1st, early 2nd to somebody?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Okay. You have to be on the pod when that second half of the 1st round. You can be on the whole thing, but you need to be on during that time.
You should be on during the 4th round, probably.
Oh, spank you.
Oh, that's going to suck if I got to eat crow on that one. Evan Ingram, Njoku. I like them both. I think Njoku really kicked in at the end of the year, so I'm going to take a chance on him.
Then Ridley went, and then Josh Downs, and then back to Eric. I will say for 2 of my ideas, which is Fellowship of the RB, I think that the Commanders duo and the Steelers duo are going to be real cheap and real nice to just drop in your lineups. I think Eckler and Brian Robinson and Najee Harris and Jalen Warren are going to be just, I think you can get them for cheap and it'll be nice to just leave them in there, especially with Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh.
This is interesting. None of the computer teams have a 2nd quarterback yet.
I was looking at that team 2 and 3 with Goff and Tua still on there. I don't think that would happen.
Yeah, Tua's at ADP of 32 and we're in the 9th round. That's insane. But I don't really like Tua that much. I was going to pick Njoku or Ingram, and Matt made the choice easy for me. I'll take Ingram.
Had 114 catches last year.
And he lost Calvin Ridley.
Gets Gabe Davis. Who knows? The renaissance. Maybe he just needed to get away from that terrible quarterback. So then Ingram went, Tua and Goff went. Okay. That's more like it. Pitts. I mean, Tua and Goff in one of our leagues, they're going to go in what, the 5th, 6th round, I would assume. So this is 2 rounds too late. These running backs aren't going to go over quarterbacks.
You better take your guy here, James, or Durden's going to take it on the next one.
Take my guy?
Yeah.
See his guy. He's got a guy.
Yeah, he does. Okay. He has to scroll just a little bit on the wide receivers.
Let me look. I mean, I know who I have queued up.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the guy you have queued up.
Okay.
He'll be there on the way back. But.
Oh, no, he won't.
No, he won't. He will not.
No. I know who we're talking about.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm going to go Deontay Johnson here. I think he's going to get absolutely peppered with targets at Carolina. Like, I just see a huge, huge target share for him. And I'm pretty stoked to have him in this spot here.
He was one of 2 guys I had in my queue. He's going to be, I mean, Thielen was kick ass the first 10.
Yeah. Yeah. And Deontay Johnson's way, at this point in his career, way more talented, right? So I see he's going to get 140 targets in that offense.
Watson went, and then Bryce Young, and then Kittle. And let me get this out of the way. So Adonai Mitchell goes at the 9-12. So now I have DJ Moore, Nico Collins, Pickens, Ladd McConkey, Keenan Allen, and Adonai Mitchell in my starting lineup. And then I want to go and just let me take a look at the running backs. There's nobody here that excites me really. I can wait a couple more rounds. Jaylen Warren, maybe. James Connor is going to be a value, but I could probably wait. Tight end, Cole Kmet, Dallas Goedert, Michael Mayer. I can wait with these guys too. So I'm going to punish somebody who doesn't have a second quarterback, and I'm going to take Kirk Cousins here. Kirk Cousins at the 10-1. If everything's right with his leg, right? That's the big question. He should have a top 10 year, right? What's holding him back? He's got all the weapons. He's got a good offensive coordinator. He's got everything pointing him, maybe top 7.
They got the Washington coach, right? From, is that correct?
The Rams DC.
The Rams old Rams offensive coordinator, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield went. I was tempted to go Baker there too. So either of those two guys, Brian Robinson, Dallas Goedert, Jaylen Warren, Will Levis, Jameson Williams, and Cole Kmet. So you went Jaylen Warren. You're assuming that we're all wrong about the RB1 getting all the work because of Arthur Smith. Is that correct?
No, I think he always plays the RB2. Despite what anyone else thinks.
So, like we think Najee Harris being the RB1 is just a number. He really doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Cole Kmet, Stafford to Eric, JJ McCarthy, and then Worthy. Talk about Stafford pick there.
Yeah, I think he's my favorite between him, Cousins, like all those old vets there, Mayfield even. He's kind of my favorite just to like produce for 2 or 3 years. I like it. I like his offense.
Plus we love watching him. He's just a lot of fun. Yeah. Xavier Worthy going at the 10-11. I'm coming around on Xavier Worthy, boys.
I
don't know what that means yet. I'm going to do some soul searching tonight, but
if you had like a contender and your team is just stacked and you don't need like depth, I love him as like a shot because it's like he is a lotto ticket. Like I think there's a really low chance that he hits, but I feel like if he hits, he's going to hit big. But he's not safe, I don't think. I mean, I don't think he'll ever be a 10 target guy or anything crazy like that.
There are no clips of him breaking a tackle. Zero. Or a contested catch. I'm just thinking when you're playing these kind of guys, you were playing DeSean Jackson, all of a sudden you see a plus 18 pop up on your thing. You're like, what? Plus 15? Plus what happened? It was an 80-yard touchdown. It's just a gut punch. In the flex spot, when you don't think you have a chance and you throw them in the flex in the first series of games, you know, Thursday night or Sunday morning, and he goes off. I don't know. I think we're all sort of in agreement with him, but if he drops to the late second in your rookie draft, you kind of have to take him, don't you? You have to.
Yeah. I think that's my biggest issue is like, I mean, there, I think absolutely, but I mean, I keep seeing him talked on podcast after podcast in the 1-8 to 1-10, 11 range. And I mean, the low I've heard it for him is like in the early second. And I just like so many other guys in that range that I would rather like Eric said, I think he's a lotto ticket guy. He has potential to pop, but he's one that's very landing spot dependent. I think he's going to have to be schemed in like an Andy Reid or a McDaniel, like a that type or a Shanahan like type of offense that knows how to utilize him in space. But if they expect this guy to, you know, just win at the line of scrimmage and win against these grown men at defensive back, like it ain't going to happen. Like he's going to need help. to be schemed open.
Let me throw this out there. What if he goes to the Dolphins?
Yeah, I mean, that changes a lot of things.
You imagine Waddle, Tyreek, and him?
Yeah, him in the wide receiver three role is, I mean, because we've been begging for that, right? We've been, you know, what in the slot they've had Berrios and River Craycraft.
Cedric Wilson.
So right. If you get him in a slot role where you can motion him and, you know, have some space between him and the defensive back. Yeah. I mean, that totally changes, I think, you know, my opinion on him.
You imagine Mostert, Achan, Tyreek, Waddle, Worthy.
Yeah, that's some serious speed. Yeah.
I mean, landing spot, huge. And I think if he drops to the 2-6 in a rookie draft, I think he is up. It's just like, he's probably the biggest lottery ticket other than Jaden Daniels, right? The highest high is a absolute league winner type of thing. But then he could just be John Ross or your boy, Henry Suggs. He could just be killing people with his car. Like, and then how good do you feel?
Suggs, Henry Suggs.
He could still come back, right, Matt?
No, he couldn't. Hey, it's Henry Ruggs.
It's summer. It's Henry Ruggs time.
Yeah, I think he's up for parole in like 2 years. Come on now. All right, Matt, you're up.
Okay. I'm really going to try to stack Jaden Reed with Romeo Doubs this year in startups. And if I can make that work, I think if you can start them both every week, I think you'll be fine.
And you guys be up for doing Dobbs, and you know, cause you're going to be able to get Dontavian Wicks too. Would you guys be up for that? No, you're saying no, Eric.
No. I'll take my shots. I mean, I'm not a Dobbs guy, I guess. I like Wicks. Reed and I like Wicks and Reed the best out of the over Doubs and Watson, though, which is kind of, I think there's four options there and two tight ends. It's just it's a cluster over there. You got to kind of pick your ticket, I guess.
Doubs was really good down the stretch too for them.
He was,
but it's going to be a tough room to figure out who to pick
and who to pay. How are they going to figure out who to pay?
And if Watson kind of gets a nice bounce back. And then you have Tucker Kraft and Musgrave, and it's going to be a tough. All right, who's your second guy here?
Marquise Brown still hanging around. And this guy, when he's healthy, I think he's way better than Valdez Scantling or any other joker that the Chiefs have tried to put out there. And when he's healthy, he's going to kill it.
It's a nice one. Aaron Rodgers, Quentin Johnston.
And then I got to go with the double stack because I got Stafford and Nacua stack. Now I need my Josh Allen and his wide receiver one stack.
Wide receiver one?
Troy Franklin. Troy
Franklin. Jerry Jeudy goes. Michael Mayer and Jacoby Myers. Anybody buying this Jeudy crap? That's like a built-in question, right?
No, that guy got paid, man. That's crazy.
Got a crap ton of money.
You guys couldn't find him in the fifth round, like 6 rounds ago. What happened?
I just don't. The Jerry Jeudy thing, that's the kind of contract where you have to sit back and go, okay, what am I? Maybe it's me. It's not you. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
What are they seeing now? Granted, there's apparently the Cleveland Browns really liked him during the draft process and they've been kind of wanting him, and but to just pay him outright.
Well, make them show it to you. Right. They haven't even seen him practice before they paid him.
If he wouldn't have burned me so bad in previous years, you know, I probably would take a shot at him, but I'm just so scorned.
I read a report today. The Browns were super happy that Deshaun Watson is throwing 40 yard passes. And I went, when? Like all the now, I mean, we're starting the season here in 4 months and he's barely throwing 40 yards. That I don't feel good about that at all. All right. James there. Now, James, you have Burrow, Love, Daniels, Ayuk, Adunze, Samuel, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Aaron Jones, Deontay Johnson, and Jaylen Warren. This is not the kind of team you normally draft, I don't think.
Yeah. This is kind of that spot where you're kind of just, it's kind of yuck, right? So you're maybe looking at some rookies that maybe you have some, you know, some interest in. You think have some upside. So tight end. Gosh. I guess I could go Musgrave here and kind of stack him with Jordan Love, because I think he's going to end up being the tight end one there. But I think I'm going to go value, and I'm going to go Michael Penix here.
Nice. Dotson, Freiermuth, and then Connor. Penix going, I don't know, is this fair? After Mayfield, after Cousins, Levis, Stafford, this is kind of the range, right?
Yeah, it depends what his draft capital is, yeah.
Is he going to go late first like everybody, you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think someone will trade in the first round to get him. If he gets past, what, Denver at 12, I'm trying to think who's after Denver. There's a...
Raiders.
The Raiders, yeah. I mean, if he gets out of that 12 to 15 range, I think there could be a pretty good slide, because then you get into a lot of teams that already have quarterback. But I think somebody will come back in to get him in that late first.
Let's hope.
You know who should? The Panthers. The Panthers should.
Bryce. So if they suck this year, that was another thing I was reading, which is if they suck this year and Bryce Young does not improve after them, they're going to draft a wide receiver probably. They have Deontay Johnson. They still have Thielen. I think Thielen's going to have a nice year too. And if he fails again, they might have the first pick. Would they go grab another QB?
Definitely. Yeah. If you get the first pick 2 years in a row with the quarterback you have, you're taking another quarterback.
I would think so. Well, at this point, the only really good tight end left for me that I think is going to be just a solid, I can leave him in there, is Dalton Schultz. He's not exciting. I don't think he's going to have a huge year, but I mean, everybody that's left is Cade Otton, Chigakwankwo, Darren Waller, we don't know if he's playing, Luke Musgrave. There's not even really a lot of necessarily starting tight ends left. We're really at kind of an end. Dalton Schultz is maybe the last starter except for Chig, and I'm kind of done with the Chig thing. And then I would like to take Braylon Allen at this point.
Yeah, I was going to ask that earlier. So, James, you took Jaylen Warren. You'd take Jaylen Warren over all the rookie RBs that aren't Jonathan Brooks right now?
Yeah, I would. I'm still a Jaylen. I still believe in Jaylen Warren. I think he's really good running back. I think he's better than Najee. In that offense, and I think he's just still warrants. I think there's a lot of points that got left on the field with him last year. If you watch their games, he should have been utilized more last year, in my opinion, than he was. So I'm still a Jaylen Warren guy. But I mean, I think this is the time now where like the Braylon Allens, the Trey Bensons, if he lands in Dallas, he's probably going to be drafted actually before this. But I was still able to hold on and get my tight end. I got Musgrave here in a non-tight end premium league, I'm fine with. I'm happy. Anyone that's attached to that Packers offense and Jordan Love right now, I think is going to be a decent play, and I'm okay with my tight end being average.
So it went Braylon Allen to me, Chase Brown, Zamir White, Roschon Johnson, Musgrave, DeAndre Hopkins, Kendra Miller, Mike Williams, Trey Benson, Jerome Ford, and then Mostert. Thought maybe you would have taken Mostert there, Eric.
I had him on my list. I think I started thinking about value-wise, if Benson hit or any of these running backs hit, would I rather have them than Mostert? Because if Mostert hits, I don't think his value goes up much from here. He had such a good year this last year.
What is his? He just he signed an extension, right?
Yeah, it was a it was a 2-year deal.
I think. He's there this year and next year. God, he was so good last year.
Yep.
But the chance of that repeating, like, I mean, that was such a, I mean, that was a really amazing year. And I agree with Eric. I think his value, even if he comes into, it can only go down. I don't think he can ever like go above where he is to where, like, I'm okay with you taking Trey Benson there. And if he hits, you know, now you got a 22-year-old versus a 31-year-old.
For sure.
Yeah, I had the next five guys on my list were rookies when we got to about my pick there.
If it's a redraft, you go Mostert for sure.
Oh, 100%. Right. Mostert's probably going in like the sixth or seventh or eighth in redraft, I would think.
All right, Matt, you get two. We are in the 12th round. We're going 15 rounds. We're almost done.
All right. I need a third quarterback because you know how things get hairy in the NFL. So I'm going to go with old Russ.
Whoa.
Russell Wilson.
Whoa.
And
slow down.
he's a solid third quarterback. I ain't too worried. And tight ends are cleared out. And you're probably looking at a lot of rookies at this point in the draft. So, let's see here. Well,
what are you thinking now? This is depth for you, right? You've got all your spots filled.
Yeah, maybe I can hit on a rookie, and if not, I don't think it'll hurt me too bad. So I'm gonna go with Mr. Ricky Pearsall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was lying up the charts.
Yep.
Cortland Sutton, Chuba Hubbard. And now Eric's up. Jalen Wright, Treylon Burks, Damian Pierce, Devin Singletary, and then if you're not first, you're last, shake and bake.
I drafted three of the running backs in this class, and I hate this class of running backs.
I was going to ask you about it. You've been shit-talking this RB class, and I like it for the cost. James likes it for the cost.
They had Jalen Wright 40 spots behind J.K. Dobbins. That's just not happening. Like, the running back ranks here are pretty bad, honestly. I think the wide receiver and quarterback ones, especially at the top end, were pretty close. But these running back ranks are just trash.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell how they're compiling. Mike Wilson, Gabe Davis, Tyler Lockett, Keon Coleman. So my bit this year, one of many, is that James will never get this player in any of the drafts I'm in. He will not get him anywhere. So I'm going Malik Washington. Boy, it's been beautiful to hear his name pop up on so many of my shows.
Hey, I grabbed him in the third round of a draft already because you guys sold me on him.
I think James and I are sort of, we're not on an island, but we are definitely, if we had, he's going to be, we're going to fight. Well, no, we're not, Eric. I don't think James smokes. I don't. I drink, though.
Got that dispensary life going on down there.
No, I think when we do our players we're financially inside of, we're going to fight over that one. I think he's going to be on a lot of our lists. And I think at this point in any draft, you just, none of the veterans are going to give you the upside of rookies. So just take as many rookies as you can. Is the way to go. Mm-hmm. And my other big one is I really like Jalen Polk at this point. And then Dobbins goes and Elijah Moore and Dontavian Wicks. Oh, he was going to take Wicks.
I was going to take Wicks. I really was wanting him to. I like him a lot. I think Wicks really started to come on last year. Love started to kind of key in on him. And I think he may eventually surpass Watson this year. Like, he's just reliable. The guy just seems to, for a rookie, he seemed to be where he was supposed to be. And Love had it, you know, had trust in him. So I like the Jalen Polk pick too, actually.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't get why Elijah Moore is going in any draft.
No.
Even a fake one like this.
I don't get why J.K. Dobbins really is either, to be honest.
I didn't even know J.K. like
it's signed by the Chargers.
Just like today or yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, did he really? I didn't even catch that. He's at the Chargers?
Yeah, Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins as the West Coast Ravens.
And the Ravens GM. The Ravens is or the GM is from the Ravens.
Yeah. I mean, he was good when he was healthy, but he's been the worst, you know, poster child for that the last couple of years. It's just the news is he should be ready for training camp.
So I think, I mean, I'm going to take the wide receiver two up in Buffalo right now. That's tied to the best quarterback in the league. So I'll take a little Khalil Shakir.
Marvin Mims, Ty Chandler, Keaton Mitchell, Marshawn Lloyd, Isaiah Likely, and then Darren Waller. Marshawn Lloyd, 4 rookie running backs. I'm going to take a picture of this and just keep it when Eric gets high on his horse and starts bullshitting us about, don't do this. I hate this group. These are the worst.
That was Eric that took Marshawn?
He's got 4.
He's such a closet. He's such a closet running back fan.
These three are going to go around like at least around probably like the 10th round in a post NFL draft.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will. The two drafts that I've had already, the running backs, only one running back was selected once. So that would be 23 picks were not running backs out of 24.
Yeah. You just did first rounds.
Just the first round. Yep.
Yeah. We were saying that we think like with our home leagues or like leagues with people who value running backs that I think I have 5 drafts. I would set the over under at about 7.5 out of 5 drafts. So out of 60 picks, in the first round, I think 7.5. So average 1 to 1.5 a league.
That middle second round in the rookie drafts are just going to get, it's going to be all running backs, it seems like. Mm-hmm. So Roman Wilson, your blue balls again.
Blue balls again. And
last pick in this draft, Matt, make it count.
I'm going to go with Mr. Jerry Rice's son.
Ooh.
Hope for, some luck.
Brandon Rice, Khalil Herbert, Antonio Gibson.
I would take a 4th quarterback and just take Derek Carr here because he's the only real starter left, but I'm not going to do it because I want to just maybe shout out someone here. I think there's 2 to shout out, but I'll go Josh Palmer.
His name has popped up on a few shows. And then Jonathan Mingo, Robinson, Wandale, and then Rashid Shaheed. And then James's last pick.
Yeah, I think let's swing for the fence here a little bit on this one. I mean, this guy is getting a lot of he's getting a lot of run in a lot of different leagues. So I'm not as much of a believer in this guy, but since it's the last pick, I'll throw a little Malachi Corley just in case he ends up being what a lot of people think he's going to be.
Malachi Corley, Tyler Algier, Demario Douglas, AJ Dillon, and then at this point, Daniel Jones. Oh, sorry. I'm like, there's still 2 rounds left. That was my bad. I hadn't scrolled down. Daniel Jones in the 15th round. He was a top 5 guy 2 years ago. Who knows? But in the 15th round, worth a shot.
What was he high on the other day in his press conference? That dude had some.
Oh my gosh.
That's one of those videos you see on Instagram where it's like an alien walking by. And you go, what's wrong with this?
What kind of uppers was that dude on? That was wild.
We're gonna see that old Adam Gase interview too, right? When he was at the Jets and he was like that. That's what it looked like. It was like,
Maybe
like the lighting really weird in the New York media thing because that's Giants and Jets use the same media area.
Did they dilate his pupils? Maybe.
Oh, he looked like he looked like I wouldn't let him behind a car.
Oh, that was great. All right, at this point, I'm going to go with another upside rookie I really have started liking this guy, especially in the third, fourth round of rookie drafts, Spencer Rattler. So double up on some QBs here in a dynasty league. I have five now, so I could easily trade one of these guys if any of these two hit. And then Miles Sanders goes, Bigsby, Zach Moss. And then James is up.
Yeah, let's go. You know, this guy had a 1,000-yard season under his belt. Kind of had some bad quarterback play and bad offense. But I think Darnell Mooney could be a sneaky late round guy down in Atlanta. I think he's better than what his stats have shown. So I'll be curious to see what he does down there with Cousins.
Mm-hmm. I forgot he was there too. That's a great two.
Madison, Hyatt, and then Eli Mitchell, and then Eric.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep taking guys that I just shout out as like depth picks. They won't go this high in your snake drafts, but I'll take Josh Reynolds. I think he'll be the wide receiver two for Denver.
And then Akers and Edwards. What do we really, as Bronco? I'm not a Bronco fan, but I'll just pretend so that we're close. Sutton, do we really want to keep him? He's bitching and moaning about a new contract. I'm like, do you understand what's going on in Denver? Have you picked up a paper or opened up an app or talked to anybody? They're not going to pay you anything. They don't have any money.
I mean, he's the only guy in town, though, right? I mean, like, literally, besides
Reynolds, Brandon Johnson and Josh Reynolds.
Marvin Mims.
I like Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, no, you don't. Nobody likes Brandon Johnson.
I'll draft him next. Just show him.
Marvin Mims is actually a kind of good comp for Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, that wide receiver.
If Marvin Mims was overrated, he'd be Xavier Worthy.
What did Josh Reynolds get? Was it a 2-year deal? $14 million. I don't understand what they're doing. They're signing guys as if they're going to try to compete. Doesn't make sense. I wish somebody would come out and say something. All right.
Did you see that they raised ticket prices big time? Oh my God. Walmart's trying to get their money back. And I'm like, have you all seen the product that's been on the field the last,
boy,
I don't know, 8 years that Manny's been gone or however long it's been?
I was thinking they'd be cheap this year. Maybe I'll go to some games, but it doesn't look like that's the case. All right, Matt, last two picks, and then we're going to wrap it all up in this last 17th round.
All right. Trey Palmer showed some stuff for the Bucks last year. I'm going to take a shot on him. One of those old receivers get hurt, he might flash. And I don't know if anybody was paying attention, but DeMarcus Robinson had one hell of a run in the playoffs last year, and he's worth the last round pick.
I was ready to laugh at you, Matt, but that was very poignant and clarity filled and smart. He was good.
He was very good. Yes.
And in the 17th round, all right, Okonkwo goes. Dulcich, I think, is a nice sleeper. We'll see if he can get healthy and get back to it. Whenever he plays, he's great, but he's just had a rough 2 years. Eric, last pick.
Yep, this would be Otner Carr still, but I'll give another shout out on a deep wide receiver flex pick, and I'll take Parker Washington.
Parker Washington ended the year pretty well. Tucker Kraft, Kate Otten, Brandon Cooks, and then James's last pick.
Yep. Only have two running backs. I need some depth here. That right now, guys, this guy's the RB1 in Dallas. So, worst case scenario, he's probably RB2 in a timeshare. So, with a rookie. So, I'll take Rico Dowdle.
Rico Dowdle, Bateman, Thielen, Samuel, and then my last pick. A lot of rookies that are quality rookies still in this group. Will Shipley's in there, Xavier Leggett, Jatavion Sanders, Bo Nix is still out there, Isaac Garendo, Anais Smith, who I'm starting to come around on him. I've really liked kind of diving into him. And the guy that they just said, if he can get his head out of his ass, that's all they said. Get your head out of your ass, that he's an absolute first round talent.
Jermaine Burton.
Teams are coming around.
I remember being accosted by both of you on my rankings of Mr. Jermaine Burton. Well, I believe Mr. Eric said I was a absolute moron.
Scott had to make that pick like that, like Daniel Jones.
What's the question? What was the question, James?
17th round. I thought I was 34th round.
I think it does show that there are so many guys, you know, Davante Adams going, where did he go? In the fifth round, sixth round, something like that. Like quality players going in the sixth round are going to push this very deep draft to where you can just load up on rookies in the 10th through 17th through 20th round and get a lot of value. Xavier Leggett's going to go in the second round in a lot of our rookie drafts, and you can get him in the 14th, 15th round of startups. I mean, there's a lot of value in those late picks. So if you do make any deals, so if I'm, hey, Eric, do you want to do this and this? Throw in a 13th just, and people are going to 13th round. I don't even know if I'm going to be around, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then all of a sudden in the 13th round, you're picking up Keon Coleman or Singletary, starting players or high level prospects. So that's a big thing this year that I'm trying to do is just get as many late picks thrown into draft swaps. Matt, let's go to your team, and then we'll go to Eric, and then James, and then mine, and then we're going to go home.
All right. I'm probably set at quarterback for the next 20 years. I got Patrick Mahomes and Trevor Lawrence. I'm starting to come around on picking one of these workhorse young running backs because they're the rarest thing in football right now. And I got Jahmyr Gibbs, went my tall boy, Metcalf, Jordan Addison, Jaden Reed and Dubs. Marquise Brown, I think, is a good value this year. Ricky Pearsall, Roman Wilson, Brendan Rice, Trey Palmer, DeMarcus Robinson. Derrick Henry, I'm placing a bet on Blake Corum. David Njoku's my solid tight end. And Russell Wilson will be backing up my team.
I'm going to lose everything I own if Blake Corum goes in the first round. do you think, where would you have, where do you, you know, look at this team and go, I might have gone here, looking at the draft board. Yeah, maybe instead of this guy, I would have waited, and I'd rather have had this guy here instead of that guy. Anybody?
I think I might have waited for my second quarterback and got a better receiver, probably.
Maybe a Lave there would have been nice.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the Marquise Brown at 11-1, I'm going to go. I mean, that's a steal. He's going to fly up the charts over the next couple months. All right, Eric.
Yeah. So I got quarterbacks are Josh Allen, Drake May, Matthew Stafford. Tight end, I have Evan Engram. Running back, I have Mixon. Then I have every rookie you can think of: Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, and Marshawn Lloyd. Wide receiver, I have Nacua, Pittman, Dell. That's going to be my starting three with a couple rookie shots in Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin. And then I just pick some depth shout outs of Josh Palmer, Josh Reynolds, and Parker Washington. Yeah, everybody on my team either wears blue, teal, or they're a rookie. So I think what I would have done differently is drafted somebody who wore red or green or orange. Just mix up the colors a little bit.
Colors is off.
Yeah. No, if I were like drafting this team, I actually really like the team, but I probably would in that like fifth, even maybe the late fourth. So the fourth through like the seventh round, I'd totally be fine trading out of that area down and picking up a bunch of future draft capital or more late picks in that eighth to, let's call it, 12th round. In this one, I think it's pretty good through the 14th round because the rookie running backs dropped, but I don't think that'll always happen. So let's call it the eighth to the 12th round. I'd like to pick up more picks there if I can trade out of that 4, 5, 6, 7 area.
Love mixing at the 7-4. That one, I guess the Drake May, I was looking at Drake May and going, okay, you got Stafford later. So that would be a nice pairing, Josh Allen and Stafford. But then who else would you have taken instead of Drake May? And I don't know if I see the value even into the next round for anybody.
Yeah. I mean, at that time I was looking between May and Andrews, and I'm glad looking at the final build, I'm glad I went May. I really don't see anybody like that just sticks out to me. Cause I think the next guy on my list that I had queued up was Brian Thomas, who I got at 6.9 anyways.
To get Ingram at 9.4, he's still not getting any credit for how good of a year he had last year.
And yeah, I don't think Njoku is either, though. I think both of them are great ninth round picks.
They're awesome picks. He was 100 catches for a tight end. How many times has that happened aside from Kelsey in the last 15 years? Once?
Yeah, I mean, I like Ingram way more than I do Njoku just because of the Deshaun Watson lack of usage with his tight ends. I mean, if Flacco was still there, then that's totally different. But I mean, yeah, Ingram, kind of a serious lack of respect, it seems like, coming off of that type of year.
I mean, if Njoku runs a 41-yard go route, not getting the ball. Not today. I mean, that's it. 40 yards. You and I, the four, we could throw 40 yards right now. I don't even have to warm up.
Totally, like it's, yeah, I don't know. Better hope the wind is with them in a lot of the games this year.
Do they have hydraulics on the field? Can they tilt it down a little? 40 yards? Yeah. Joe Milton just threw it 80. And he doesn't even know which direction he's throwing it. And this guy can't throw 40. I know he had surgery, but when did he whatever. We have 5 months to make fun of him. James, what do you think about your team?
Yeah, so quarterback, I got Burrow and Love. So I like that tandem for the foreseeable future. I got Daniels and Penix. So I went rookies as my backup plan. Hopefully one of those two hit. Running back, Aaron Jones, Jalen Warren, and Rico Dowdle. So I'm okay. I usually wait on running backs. So I'm actually okay with that trio. Receiver, I got Ayuk, Rome, Adunze, Debo Samuel, Scary Terry, Deontay Johnson, Michael Wilson, Khalil Shakir, Malachi Corley, Darnell Mooney. So I like the depth I have with that group. Tight end, I waited, went Luke Musgrave, kind of banking on him, kind of progressing and teaming him up with Jordan Love. Overall, I'm pretty happy with this group. I think maybe if I would change something, you know, looking back, I kind of got a little 49er heavy there with Ayuk and Debo. I probably should have went either Cooper Kupp or Mike Evans in that slot because those guys went 3 or 4 picks behind that. So if I could redo that, I'd probably go Kupp there. I just think he's still got some juice left with that in that offense. So if I could take that one back, that's what I would do. But besides that, I'm really happy with the depth I got in the wide receiver room. I think Deontay Johnson is going to get a crap ton of targets. McLaurin's going to play with the best wide receiver he has. And I got Jaden Daniels, assuming he's going to go there. So I'm overall happy with this group.
Aaron Jones at the 8.5 seems like a little sneaky, right? When other guys are taking Pollard, I'd rather have Aaron Jones than Pollard.
I love the Deontay Johnson pick is the one I love on his at 9.8. I just think he's right. I think he's just going to get a ton of targets. Even if they do draft a rookie, I really like the Deontay Johnson pick. That's my favorite pick on your draft.
I mean, yeah, and I think the Aaron Jones, like to your point, you know, Scott, you know, you brought in a guy and Jacobs and basically got cut and he's on a 1 year deal in Minnesota just to stick it to them. So I kind of like a running back with a chip on his shoulder. He looked really, really good the last 5-6 games in Green Bay. I thought he really helped. Everyone talks about the progression that Love made. And I actually think having a healthy Aaron Jones really accelerated that growth. And I think sometimes that gets forgotten, a good veteran running back in the backfield with a young quarterback.
He was awesome those last 4 or 5 games and into the playoffs.
I mean, he won me our at-home league, Scott. I traded for him when he was hurt, and he, no doubt, I think, carried me to winning that league.
What does the resident Viking fan feel?
I was going to ask if Montgomery dropped one pick to you there. He went right before you. You taking Monty or you taking? I would have taken Monty myself, but.
Yeah, I had a reaction, I think, because I was really wanting Monty there. So I would have taken Monty over Jones there just because of the touchdown potential that Detroit has in that offense. But I'm okay with him, with Jones. I think he's literally on a prove it deal. I think he's going to. If the hamstrings hold up, I really like it. I mean, are we really worried about anybody else in that backfield taken away from Aaron Jones? I mean, I think he destroys Chandler when it comes to talent. So I feel pretty good about his position this year.
I need to play poker with you, James.
We got a poker. We got poker nights.
You should have seen it. We almost got whiplash when David Montgomery got picked. It's like, what happened? Yeah. Did somebody shoot you? Is the grassy knoll?
I love Monty, man. Monty's just he's awesome. He's so solid. Like, he's just fun.
He's a fun player. All right. So my team: Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, Josh Jacobs, Braylon Allen, DJ Moore, Nico Collins, George Pickens, Dalton Schultz, Ladd McConkey, Keenan Allen, Adonai Mitchell, Kirk Cousins, Malik Washington, Jalen Polk, Daniel Jones, Spencer Rattler, and Jermaine Burton. I would have taken Love over Richardson, to be honest. I like that we've seen it out of Jordan Love. I like his weapons better. Anthony Richardson might have a higher ceiling. We've seen it. And so to have Jordan Love and Kyler Murray, I think, is where I would have changed that. And then having Braylon Allen as my RB2 is a problem. Mm-hmm. Probably would have taken Connor there if he would have fallen. Or really the problem is I waited too long. So I should have taken like Mostert there is what I would have done, I think, in a real world. And then I'd be fine I'd feel good for 2 years. And then on the next go around, I would have taken Marshawn Lloyd. Right. So I would have had Mostert and I would have taken my rookie after I solidified my starting lineup. But to get Daniel Jones, Rattler, Burton, Polk, Malik Washington, who we love, Schultz in the 11th round, I like getting a lot of these rookies. These are solid rookies to get this late who could really, really turn into starters if I needed it to, or at least flex. I think I'm coming around on Polk big time. I've been watching more Polk and just listening to people talk about him who are experts. And I think he's going to have an awesome career if he goes to a good spot.
I like Polk a lot too. He really reminds me of Chris Godwin. I've said that a lot when watching him, but that's what I wrote down for you, is you had to go RB earlier or vet RB instead of Braylon Allen when I looked at your team too. And what else did I write down? Oh, two Chicago wide receivers, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
I do actually like that. I'm fine with the stack, you know. I had to
Without the quarterback, though, was intriguing to me.
It's funny. Somebody was talking about Caleb Williams and what happens if they go 8-9, but Caleb throws for 4,000 yards. And I go, that feels like he should throw for 4,000 yards, right? Yeah. But then we've gone down the Chicago Bears quarterback room and there's Rex Grossman. There's Jay Cutler. There's, you know, there's McMahon.
Kyle Orton.
And so people keep coming back to, has there ever been a good Bears, you know, year for a quarterback? I'm like, have they ever brought in a guy that could do it?
Right.
And I don't know if I think Jay Cutler, when they got Brandon Marshall in there, and those two guys were hooking up, I think that was the one time it could have happened.
If you were just like mock drafting at 112 constantly, and you were always just basically able to get both those Bears wideouts, would you be taking Caleb at that 2-1 instead of your Kyler pick at 2-1?
Oh.
Because he went right at 2-2. I'm not saying, like, we don't do mock drafts like this or whatever really that much, but I'm just saying, like, if you could go back and they would let you switch that pick now, would you be switching that Kyler pick to Caleb?
No, I think I'm coming around more on the Jordan Love Murray duo.
Okay.
I would rather have Murray. I'm with you. I would rather have Murray and Jordan Love over Caleb.
Okay.
Sure. But I'm not a Caleb guy. You're not a big Caleb guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not. we are the one show where we feel kind of there's upside to all these guys. Every show we listen to, it's Caleb won. That's it. There's not even a discussion. And yet when you start listening to all these things and watching and breaking down what their upside is and all this, I'm like, I don't understand why it's so definitive. I've said this before on the show, but I would much rather have Jordan Love and Kyler, especially if Kyler gets a Marvin Harrison. I think that's wheels up.
Mm-hmm.
And McBride. And any last minute thoughts before we go?
I think you got a nice, kind of unlike you, Scott, your team's a nice mix of some veterans and then a decent amount of rookies. So it seems like you usually don't do that. You're usually, if you decide to go veteran, you go veteran all the way. So, but I kind of like the balance you have. I mean, I like the upside of your rookie picks. I'm okay with the Bears because you got, I mean, Keelan Allen, you're hoping to catch, you know, lightning in a bottle for one, maybe 2 years if you can. But DJ Moore's a stud. So I like it.
McConkey might have been a little reachy, maybe, you know, Amari Cooper there, but I still think he's close enough. So maybe instead of McConkey, I would have gone David Montgomery. That would have been smarter. But then Eric would have taken McConkey somewhere there.
Probably.
Yeah.
The only thing I have for everybody is just, you know, make your moves. If you need to move down or whatever, move up. If you see a tier now, do it now. If you think that it is going to be a defined tier and you don't really care about the landing spot, I don't think with these top five guys, six guys for some people, seven guys for some people, some of these landing spot is not going to matter for you. If you like them that much, landing spot should not matter. For me, it's my top five. So if I can get up into five from seven relatively cheap, I'm doing that now, not waiting for landing spot to change values. So also it's time to trade away your picks. If you're a contender and people want your picks and they're actually willing to give you, you know, $1.25 on the dollar, like it's time to do that now, because we've seen it in all of our leagues right now. There's late seconds or late firsts, mid first, randomly getting traded for a vet. And most of the time I'm coming out right now going, oh yeah, I'll take the vet.
Yeah. Well, and just looking at this board, not necessarily this being the way it always is, but if you're starting a new league in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Adonai Mitchell is not going to go at the 9-12. No chance. McConkey's not going to go at the 7-12. No chance. So those guys are going to get pushed up, and guys like Devontae Adams, Debo, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp are going to get pushed down. And like you said, Eric, earlier, this was a perfect example of trade for those fifth, sixth, seventh round picks. Pick up first. You're going to have a win now team for 2 years, make some money, and now you're set. The rebuild is set inside of the draft that you're doing. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
A great idea. All right, boys. That was fun. Do you want to say that our first real draft of the year, I took Ladd McConkey and Malik Washington? Just throwing it out there. No? Nothing from you guys. All right.
And AR. You got AR too.
And AR. This is how we do it. This is kind of the kickoff to the season, I think. Next week, we're going to just tired as hell. I have no idea what. Start getting punch drunk after 3 hours. I don't know what I'm going to do after 12. But that'll be a lot of fun. Once again, great, Matt, having you back. Love having you back in the fold.
It was great being back.
Eric, nice having you regular. Having you, I like seeing your pretty face.
Nice being here.
James?
Go
ahead, Matt.
We're going to have to order some smelling salts for the pot of...
James, I love this new camera view of your rape room. Great. Oh, come on. It looks like the basement in Gone Girl. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That one. And like I said, we'll get Ryan on the show. We'll get Justin. I was chatting with him, so he's going to come on soon. And once again, thank you in advance to my fantasy family. You guys are family. I've gotten to know you guys better than people in my own family. And so you, the things that I've heard in just a brief time from Eric, and I'll come back on a subsequent show and speak on it more. But thank you guys very much for the prayers, the blessings, for being in my life, for making, I think I can speak for anybody, for some of these leagues, you guys are an incredibly important part of my life. And doing these shows, especially with you guys, James, Matt, Eric, Ryan, Justin, I'm incredibly blessed to have you guys. I cannot thank the world, the God above, and everybody enough to have you. So thank you guys so much. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.